Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
All right, we have to get to the alphabet, Cindy. You have to stop fooling around. This is serious.
It's so serious. It's back to school.
This is about learning.
We have to get this accomplished. Right. Okra.
Okra. What percentage of people do you think actually like okra?
Everyone in the South. That's a large part of
Everyone in the
country.
South is probably an overstatement.
No, everybody in the South loves okra. Well, maybe not.
That's like, see, when you
say... Well, the problem is with okra is you just simply have to know how to cook it in order for it to be good.
And or you have
and
to like...
And that requires a hot pan.
Or you have to like its
really
mucilaginous
characteristics. Well, you know, I mean, that quality is what thickens things, so that's why it's in gumbo. And I make a duck gumbo, and instead of actually putting okra in it, I fry okra and garnish
it. I just like
and
fried
okra.
And
that's just the best way. Fried okra is, you know, and just marinate, you know, wash it well. It can be sandy. Leave it whole. If you can. If not, only cut it into maybe two pieces or three pieces, depending on how big it is. Marinate it in buttermilk and then go into cornmeal, all-purpose flour, salt, and a little bit of cayenne pepper and fry it in peanut oil. And it's really very, very good.
Very hot summer night, watching the West Coast Orioles game at like 11 o'clock at night. Pan fry okra just in like with breadcrumb. Toss it in salt and pepper. You know, eat that like chips or pretzels or something with a cold beer. There are worse things you can do in Baltimore.
But we could do boiled peanuts for a P or a B.
I have an O.
Okay.
in my Silly Clever series where I've outsmarted myself, my O is ortolan.
Oh, but nobody's allowed to eat those.
It's not legal.
No, it's illegal food.
It is.
I would like to eat it once.
That particular law I've had a chance to break three times.
Oh.
Two in Spain, once in France. And every time, the ortolans are these little tiny birds. They have remarkably, like, sweet, rich characteristic. You eat the entire bird, which means you have to be a little bit selective as you go. And the organs are part of the pleasure of the little birds.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about bones. There's some little bones that are fine. There's some that are not fine.
Right.
You watch out for beaks and things like that.
Oh,
and
traditional way of serving it is in the pastry with the head at the top of the pastry,
or
puff pastry.
The best I had it was in a place in León. It's one of these like steak restaurants that you see on the way to Galicia.
Did you say a steak restaurant?
Yeah, a steak restaurant on the way to Galicia.
Okay.
Where like you go out to the guy's refrigerated trailer and you pick out where you want your chuleton to be cut from, you know, and while the guy's cutting your chuleton. Your buddy who's like a winemaker who's gone hunting shows up with 40 ortolans.
Wow.
And they put them in an iron basket and put them in the fireplace. And put it underneath, you know, something to catch all the juice and everything. And yeah, they're amazing. So let's go away from the law breaking and let's go to pee.
Pear, plum, papaya, parsnips, pomegranate.
Wow. Can you say that again?
I love parsnips, and really, I mean, wash them, peel them, slice them on a bias, rub them with corn oil, salt, sugar, pepper, just a little bit of sugar, if you don't mind, and roast them at 350 degrees on a sheet pan laid out. Oh, so good. And if they begin to caramelize a little bit, you're going to eat those before you can serve them to anybody because they're so good. And I like to do it with a combination of other root vegetables, carrots,
it's
celery.
It's nice in a gratin with golden beets and celery root.
Mm-hmm.
Is great.
Mm-hmm. And pomegranate is one of my favorite things on the planet.
Of the things you named, the thing that is sort of my holy grail is every autumn is finding the perfect pear. You know, the ideal... You know, that ideal Bartlett pear.
Right. Just bite into that.
That's sweet. It's the perfume.
Pears are awesome.
It's that particular perfume that when they're just right,
I agree.
That they have. And the flesh is a little different from any of the tree fruits.
So exciting when we get local ones.
But it's not great every year. And
oh, sure. Sure. You never know.
But nope. That's,
well, sometimes the nectarines are good and the peaches aren't. Sometimes we don't get any. You know, it's been fascinating all these years buying, you know, and getting to cook with these things and seeing what we do get and what we don't get.
Some years it's just not there. The years that it's there, you celebrate it.
What's your cue?
My pee would...
Oh. I keep skipping you.
Yes, it's okay. Because I had it's part of my... Well, my pee was pigeon. My cue was quail.
Oh, good.
Three birds I love to eat.
I love them all.
Actually, I'm going to have four birds in this whole alphabet that I love to eat.
Good. Oh, I love quail.
So then pigeons or squab, which are young pigeons in the U.S. But it's funny, everywhere else, young pigeons and old pigeons are all called pigeons. Here we have a protective word, so we don't worry about the ones in the park. So we say squab. But that cooked on a wood grill, done alla mattone between two hot pans, you know, that's roasted in the oven.
That's how we cook them.
There's a million ways to, with a fat old piece of foie gras and like duck bacon inside the cavity, roasted slow, can be great. There's enough flavor that can handle plenty of spice with just like star anise is great with it. Coriander seeds, great with it. Juniper, great with it. That's a great thing about both of those birds going on.
Yeah, exactly. They're hearty. Serious flavors.
Quail's a little less forgiving if you don't nail the temperature. That's the one thing. And it's hard to get as much flavor from the skin as the pigeon.
We're getting a quail now from France that is really, truly one of the best things I've ever eaten. And I have found I always cooked quail medium well, just under well done, just... So it was just cooked through. We now cook them medium rare because this quail
product
is unbelievable. Yeah. And we always cook our squab medium rare. Delicious. Right.
What was your cue, by the way?
Quince, which would go with that too. And quince is one of your favorite things.
I
almost never worked with quince before you started buying it at market.
That perfume.
They're gorgeous. Oh my gosh. You know, when you get them, they're hard. They're hard, kind of hard to work with.
Close the doors to your dining room, put five quince in a bowl, and go down the next morning and open the doors.
It's amazing. They really are. It's like, you're right. It's like a thing of perfume. They're gorgeous.
You think Guerlain Paris like opened the shop in your dining room. It's amazing.
And then, when you cook them, you have to cook them a very long time and they turn this gorgeous color of red. And they're yellow when you get them. They may have some blush to them, but they're yellowish pinkish when you get them. And the flesh is yellow, really. And gosh, they're just so amazing. And again, makes a great preserve, or make a chutney with it, or make a chilled soup with it, or make ice cream or sorbet, or you know, make a stuffing with that as one of the ingredients for quail or squab. I mean, they're just, quince are amazing.
Or a sauce with that quail.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now about R.
I guess I'll say radicchio, because actually one of our chefs grills it. And I had never grilled it myself. I'd had it grilled, and he used to do...
It makes it more bitter and more sweet.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good grilled.
Well, you think of treviso.
Yeah, that's
right. It's just a longer radicchio, but
And he would do it with balsamico, really great balsamico, and shaved Reggiano. And, oh, my goodness. I could just eat a whole lot of that.
That's one of those original... That Sunday, we're talking to Julian, and then walking in with a bunch of menu things for him. I'm like, okay, we're going to go do this stuff. He's like, what?
It was really
good
salad.
That was one of them, yeah. That was great.
Should bring that back.
I think we're going to have to.
What's your R?
My R, I like saying it. It's an obscure Italian grape, but it's almost like saying radicchio.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like a happy, ridiculous Italian word to say. Rondinella. Which is one of these small, you know, blending grapes that you see in Valpolicella region. That's Corvina is the most important grape that goes in Valpolicella and Amarone, which Amarone is just from the same zone but dealt with a different way, maybe with dried grapes. The Rondinella is one of the other red grapes that goes into that. Once in a while, you see it on its own. And it has an odd, you ever had like Rainier, the white cherries?
Oh,
it has
yeah.
a little funny perfume when it's nice and ripe. And they'll make a rosé because it's a pretty thin-skinned grape. They make a rosé with it, and it totally smells like those cherries. But you only ever see it like in little funny restaurants around Lake Garda. But yeah, Rondinella.
Very good. Cool word. Okay. And then S. What's your S?
Spaghetti.
Oh, okay.
All right. How I knew I was a food dork, my father and my brother would make fun of me when I would say pasta or any other name of a shape, because for them, they're normal American guys. It was all spaghetti. Yeah, what are you having? I'm having spaghetti. No, that's tagliatelle.
Jeez.
Like, okay, I'm a dork. I don't care.
Right.
But this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 38 years ago or something. And
very few people made food like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and yours?
Funny. I had strawberries and...
You don't have seven of them that
squash.
Rhyme? Okay.
No, that's all I have, squash and
squash
strawberries.
Squash is an unfortunate word. The sound of it kind of belies how happy it can make you
right,
eat it.
Right, because yellow squash, again, all these things that are, when they're fresh, are just really beautiful things.
But butternut squash. What is more fun to eat than that?
Or spaghetti squash. Oh, my gosh. And spaghetti squash, speaking of spaghetti, I mean, it comes out looking like spaghetti. I mean, how much fun. If I had a child, I would completely teach them how to make spaghetti squash because I just think it would be so much fun to pull all the little strands of squash out of the shell. It is hard to cut them. You have to have a very sharp knife, and it's a little bit trying, quite frankly, because their shell, the spaghetti squash shell, is very hard. But roast it in the oven, flesh side down with a little water on the pan, and 350 degrees until it's tender enough to pull out. Usually takes about 25 minutes.
Tuck a little tiny sliver of garlic under each one.
Why not? I like to saute or butter poach
garlic.
Let it
steam in that a little bit.
When I cook it, it's, you know, my old thing that I used to do for Thanksgiving for the restaurants was spaghetti squash with tomato puree. And I always put a little bit of butter poached garlic in with the squash and salt and pepper. And that squash loves tomato puree, just like real spaghetti does. It's kind of funny. Same combination.
How about tea?
Tangerines, tomatoes, and truffles. So you know which one of those is my favorite.
Okay, so talk about tangerines. So truffles, there's always stories in the news now about truffles, right?
Mm-hmm.
About these guys are cultivating them. These guys have them in Australia. They're Chinese faking them. There's all kinds of stuff going on. The two basic places where you expect to see truffles are in Europe, right?
Yes.
And talking about black truffles.
Vaucluse and Perigord.
In France, yeah, the Vaucluse and Perigord.
Mm-hmm.
In Italy, you might see black truffles in a bunch of different places, pretty much Umbria and north, in foothills of mountains, depending upon how wet the weather is. And then white truffles are totally different, because black truffles are a mushroom. White truffles are actually a vegetable related to Jerusalem artichokes. But they have a crazy aroma.
Yeah, they really do. White truffles are so different.
And they don't have the texture.
And they have a shorter,
Much as I love white truffles, they don't have the texture of
Well, they're just so expensive. I mean, they're just ridiculously expensive. And it's just almost impossible for people to work with them. But they are their own thing, and they are very special. But yeah, it is a completely different texture. I mean, I love the texture of the winter black truffle, particularly from those regions in France, and the perfume that they give off and the way that they taste and just how many different ways you can use them. I mean, if I had to say a favorite ingredient of mine to work with as a chef, I would absolutely say that black winter truffle. And, you know, I had never had a winter truffle before 20 years ago. So, you know, it's just an amazing product.
Once you see snow, you're sort of like, wait,
well,
where are they?
Right. It's time.
Where are they? Something's going to get me through this winter. All right. So my tea is Tarausi. Tarausi is one of these old-fashioned wines from Campania. Great, big, made from a big, dense, thick-skinned red grape, Aglianico, up in very misty sort of pine forest vineyards that feel like they've been there for thousands of years, because they've been there for thousands of years, literally 3,000 years. And Tarausi is the heart of this area, Erpinia, not far from Avellino, up on those hills. And there is almost like a pine aromatic to those wines. But they're not shy. They're big. Like if it was a person, it's a big gravelly voiced guy with like giant rounded shoulders and mm-hmm. you know, and not subtle.
Right.
But
and the food isn't either.
No, nor
food
is
so good.
Nor is the quantity of food.
Mm-hmm.
but Tarausi can be very special, and it's one of those. But that's definitely winter time, and that's definitely for like big fatty dishes and or you know. Meat off the grill, but like again, big fatty meat off the grill.
Are there boar there? Do they have boar there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just
more further north.
Okay, I could so see boar with a Tarausi.
So do you have a U?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No, I don't either.
Okay,
I don't either.
V. The only V I could come up with was Valencia orange, but if now that I know that it's open category, I would say venison, which I would much rather talk about, which I hope that our local farm will reopen.
We've had some nice venison over the last year or so, but not like the one particular
producer. Right, the local farm is just, I hope he gets going again because his stuff is brilliant. But I love working with venison.
My V was violet. There's a thing, and it's not in a lot of food, but man, oh man, in the world of like the crazy cocktail culture of right now, I know that's that creme de violette, you know, and these various violet syrups and whatnot are a big deal, and it has a very particular flavor and aroma,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like it's the sort of thing that well placed, maybe even in a pastry, could be quite interesting. But that's the thing that first came to my mind, and I know it's because of the big cocktail culture thing that's okay. that's been. It's not a revival. It's obviously a whole big own, its own explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, okay.
So what do you have for X?
Watermelon and watercress.
Oh, well, I skipped W entirely, didn't I?
Oh yeah, W. Jeez. Watermelon, watercress. Yeah. Yum. X, I have nothing for. Why I cheated and said Yukon gold potatoes. How about you?
Why I said yuca.
Oh, yeah.
I love yuca.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The same way on tea, I could have said taro, you know, two things that I just love chips from, or like doing them sort of pan-fried, almost like a country, like you would do sort of big, fat country chips with onions in a big old skillet. Yuca can be really good that way. Make a little fresh salsa with chilies and serve that with, you know, a sort of almost a wedge of that cooled off in the pan. It'd be really good. W for me was waffle.
Yum.
It's an unreasonable thing.
It's a thing. Happy thing, waffles.
I will admit to walking into a kitchen, taking a hot waffle, putting a couple slices of bacon inside.
Ew.
On top of the waffle, folding it over itself. This is look, I'm sorry.
That's manly.
This is man talk, okay?
Yeah, that's manly. I would never do that.
10 seconds of man talk about food.
This
is not my brother and father laughing at me. This is them saying, yeah, you got bacon grease in your hand. Yeah. And folding that over and just standing there eating it, being happy about it, you know,
well,
like
you
I was
know,
seven.
If it makes you happy.
Like I was seven.
That's all that matters.
And then trying really hard to remember to like go and wash my hands before I wipe my hands in my pants. All right. So what do you have for Z now your zucchini has been taken away?
I have nothing. I have zero. Z. How about you?
I had zucchini, but then you took it away. Being fancy, saying courgette.
So there aren't any wine Z's or alcohol Z's?
Zibibo. Zibibo is
a
wine Z.
Huh.
I'll give you a dollar. If you give me a dollar, I'll tell you.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
I'll give it to you for free.
Sorry.
Remember that.
Go.
Don't say I never gave you anything.
Okay.
Zibibo is a grape that you see in Sicily, usually for sweet wine. And they make dry wines with it. And there's like Donna Fugata is a producer that makes a dry wine with Zibibo that's really curious and really interesting and is the kind of thing that with a lot of the food that's very like spicy, sweet, like this raisins and chilies and spices and pickled things all in some particular dish or all as a garnish for, you know, some piece of grilled fish could be really nice. But mostly it's a dessert wine that is served with the very like sweet crumbly cookies and sugar dusted fruits and that kind of stuff that you see there traditionally.
All right. That's it. We did it.
Oh, we made the alphabet. Mm-hmm. One reminder to listeners that we have a program coming up. We'd love to interview you. So who do we want, Sid?
Three fun people that want to be on the radio that love to cook, basically, that are not professionals.
But we're looking for a little bit of intensity in the amateur chef. Is it a particular mission for you to make great Japanese food in your home or to make amazing vegetarian food from South America or to produce, you know, you grew up in the Pacific Northwest and there's a particular style of cooking you pursue at home and you're very serious about it, you study it. And we would love to have amateur chefs who are excited to talk about what they do and why they do it on a future program. So please email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. You can also download podcasts and look for upcoming programs on the WYPR website at that same name. So thanks for listening. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chef Cindy Wolf or on Instagram at Chef Wolf. Would love to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to Foreman and Wolf on WYPR. Have a great afternoon.